Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch,
presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse,
with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, here on this Victory Monday. Ravens going to the divisional round, going up to Buffalo as favorites. 1 point, that is, depending on your favorite line. ESPN Bets, who we refer to around these parts, gets the Bills, who are undefeated at home. Other zaniness going on as well in this wild card round. And then you have Minnesota, the Rams tonight, unfortunately relocated to Arizona because of the horrible fires in L.A. and the Palisades area. And here to talk about that, the games, of course, and everything else in between. Long time NFL writer, friend of the show. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Let's welcome back Jason Cole. Jason, first of all, belated Happy New Year to you and yours. Thanks for joining us here.
Good to be here. Happy New Year as well. Thank you.
Before we get to the wild card stuff, which is drama-filled as usual, Mike McCarthy out in Dallas, looking for a new home. Dallas, obviously, looking for a new coach. So, Mike McCarthy was a guy on the hot seat. Now it seems like he's Juan Soto of the coaches this offseason. So how attractive now is Mike McCarthy for a new destination? And how attractive is that Dallas job as we sit here on January 13th?
Well, I think if you have a quarterback like Chicago, Jacksonville, McCarthy becomes a guy that you want to have because he's done a good job of developing quarterbacks over the years. So I think that those are automatics. Repeat the second part of this question.
How attractive is the Dallas job?
That was a horrible job. Because you have no control. You have no say, and you get undermined left and right. Like this, the people who are out there saying that Mike Tomlin should get fired should flip around and look at the ineffectiveness of head coaches in Dallas and say, which side do you want? Because what Pittsburgh does is it empowers the coach to actually have say in the locker room, that he has the ability to, you know, make key decisions and make key decisions stick and will not just be removed, you know, at the drop of a hat or undermined by the owner with post-game press conferences all the time. And like Jerry gets quoted more after games than the coach does, whether that coach is Garrett, McCarthy, you know, Wade, Parcells, you know, all those things that have happened over the years. So the head coach in this scenario is, I won't even call him a front man. He's not even a front man. It's more like, he's Ed McMahon on the Carson show. That's what the head coach in Dallas has become. And that's not an effective person who can do their job. Now, somebody's going to take it because the money's going to be good. And maybe it's Sarkisian, who knows who's going to end up popping up for that job. Because certainly, if you're a college head coach right now, you want to be in the NFL because it's so hard to coach at the college level because you're managing, you know, 24/7, 365. There's no breaks for you. In the NFL, you can have a bit more of a life because you're not having to manage NIL and guys who are going to the transfer portal and just leaving whenever they want to leave. So they'll find a candidate. That person's going to end up, until Jerry passes away, that person's going to be ineffective.
Hey, Jason, what are the odds that Todd Monken gets a job? I think he's got Jets, Raiders, Jacksonville, I think he's interviewing for.
Jets, Raiders, Jacksonville. Only one of those jobs I'd want. And that would be Jacksonville, because you got maybe a quarterback.
Can you get rid of Trent Baalke?
You have to.
Yes.
You don't. I mean, you have to take the owner up on his offer, which he made public, that Trent will maybe survive if he doesn't. I mean, Trent's a backstabber.
Yes, he worked for me.
Yeah, you know him. He's a guy who backstabs everybody until he survives. And you can't have people like that in your organization because nobody trusts him. So he's just got to go. And the fact that Shad has not realized that makes me question Shad. But I think Shad is earnest in wanting to be good. I will say that. I think he's trying to be good just for whatever reason. Or it's the only reason that one late executive once told me, he said, NFL teams are great, except they don't come with owner's manuals. So people have to learn along the way how to operate these things.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Now, what did you think of the Ravens-Steelers game, Jason?
It was chalk. I wrote beforehand that they would win by, I think it was 13 or, basically two touchdowns. I think I had that game as 31-17. It was 28-14. It was a clinic in the first half. Second half, Pittsburgh kind of made it a little bit interesting, but not enough. There was never a time where you thought Pittsburgh was going to win this game. And like, Baltimore has the best team statistically in the whole thing. They should win the Super Bowl. Now, having said that, it's much harder said than done. They're going to have to go on the road probably to, Kansas City, and then you got to play in the Super Bowl. But they've had the best season statistically of anybody. They have screwed up some games, so that gives you a little bit of pause. But this team is put together almost perfectly, as perfectly as you possibly can in this era, because you're always going to have some kind of hole in what you do.
Yeah.
That's just the nature of the game today. But, man, it is a beautiful thing to watch Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry play off of one another, because the defense is just stressed on every single play. They whatever they want to do, they can do it. And Lamar has gotten to a point where he can get to the plays that he wants to get to. He's got the freedom with Monken in the second year to do that. It's a gorgeous thing to watch. And it's a great player. It's a great quarterback with a great power running back next to him with a team that likes to play power football. And that's awesome to watch.
Hey, Jason, what do you think the odds are for Suggs and Yanda getting in on the first ballot?
A bit of a long shot. Suggs is better than Yanda in terms of the – I was talking with one person yesterday. If you were talking about the Q rating of it in terms of the popularity and the recognizability, Suggs is more recognizable as a great player than Yanda, even though you could argue that Yanda has a better resume. But, guards are guards. It's hard for interior guys, interior linemen on either side of the ball to get in. I think Yanda is the most accomplished player in this. I don't see him getting in on the first ballot. I see Suggs having a pretty good shot of getting in on the first ballot. A lot of times people only vote for one guy at a position in a given year. So if that happens, there may be some sort of political leaning towards Jared Allen, who has already been waiting for a number of years, versus Suggs, who's in his first year. There may be some of that. On my survey, Suggs, I think, was in the low 40%, which would be really tough for a first year guy to get in. But I think that Suggs is clearly a Hall of Famer. I think Gander's clearly a Hall of Famer. It just may not happen this year.
Jason Cole, longtime NFL writer, joining us, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan on the Window Nation guest hotline. Last thing, Jason, of the underdogs coming up this weekend, and keep in mind, according to ESPN Bet, Buffalo is a 1-point dog at home. We'll assume Philly will be favored over either Minnesota or the Rams. Where's the best chance of an upset? Houston, Washington, Buffalo, or to be determined against Philadelphia?
Well, home dogs. I mean, you saw what happened with Houston. Dog. And I thought the Chargers would go in there and win, and that game was pretty competitive for three quarters. But you could see that Houston was playing with a sense of anger and a sense of disrespect. So if you look at that from that perspective, you've got Buffalo, which has had a great season. They're the best chance of for a dog to win in this one, because they've got that going for them. I just think the matchup is so bad. Like, I just, the way that Baltimore's offense lines up against Buffalo's defense. And granted, I think Buffalo's a little bit more physical than they were earlier in the year, but they're just not. I mean, when you can attack right at them and consistently do it and put stress on their pass defense, like, I just think this is a horrendous matchup. I guess that leads me to the idea that Houston has a bit of a chance because Kansas City's played so many close games. But in what world do you imagine Patrick Mahomes throwing four interceptions? And it's just, you know, like Justin Herbert threw away that game on Saturday. I don't see Patrick Mahomes ever doing anything like that. And I think that Houston's interior offensive line can't handle Chris Jones.
Jason Cole, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the divisional round. Enjoy tonight's game, as a matter of fact, Minnesota and the Rams from Arizona. And we'll catch up with you before the championship games.
Absolutely. Take care, guys.
Jason Cole, he doesn't think T Sizzles gets in, nor Marshall Yanda in the first ballot, and he votes on that sort of thing. So we shall see. We'll come back. We'll make our picks for tonight's game. We'll also look at what we did, how we did over the weekend. So stay tuned for that. Then the Wizard Walt Williams will preview Maryland and Minnesota, rather, coming up tonight. Terps coming off that big win against UCLA. Now they're taking on a struggling Gophers team. Big favorites in that game. Got to start stacking these W's because you hit the road soon for Illinois and Indiana.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You can pick your friends.
We just become best friends.
Yep. You can pick your nose.
But there was no pig. There was no pig.
But only Vinny and Haney can pick games. Football Pick'em. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Here we are, January 13th. Regular season long gone in the NFL. College football season ended many, many moons ago. We're now down to the final game there. Think about it. The playoffs started December 20th. Championship games, January 20th. So yeah. They milked you for a month, old ESPN and the networks, and it's been entertaining for the most part. Games certainly have been more dramatic in the last couple of rounds. But anyway, we do picks. Vinny wins the booze in the regular season. He gets wine from us. Me and Nolan still searching for that free beer, and the quest began. And Nolan, let's go back to this weekend. I guess we start Friday with the college football playoff game two.
Yes, Texas versus Ohio State. Vinny and I were with the Buckeyes in this one. Bob went with the Longhorns. Probably screaming and kicking yourself. Why would I do that?
Two particular instances. The end of the first half, end of the game. What in the wild world of sports were you doing defensively, allowing a little screen pass to go to the house? And then first and goal from the one, and you go in reverse.
The
second down call was one that I think Sarkisian will be explaining away. Maybe even if he gets the Cowboys job, as Jason Cole just alluded to. Next.
Chargers versus Texans. We were all wrong on this one. Thought that the Chargers would go in there and, you know, handle their business against what looked like an inferior Texans team down the stretch. But defense was rolling. Get that many interceptions, you better win. Probably the best way to put it. So we all took the L, long story short.
Yeah, and a lot of people did. And LA was up 6-0. And it seemed like it took forever for Houston to get anything generated offensively. Then they did. And as we talked about earlier, the Chargers just could not get out of their own way offensively. And the defense, Vinny, could only do so much. And they eventually, what did it say? They bend, not break. They finally broke.
Yeah.
Turnovers did them.
Broncos versus Bills. We were all picking the Bills in this one. Although I got to admit, that first drive with Bo Nix, that touchdown pass, I was feeling it a little bit. Yeah. Thought we might see an upset coming. Hell of a throw. Just rest of the game, no momentum.
Yeah, you're begging for the upset. My wife was, too. I want Denver to win. Why? Because the Buffalo's going to be hard to beat. What do you, they think they're just going to hand them the Lombardi trophy? The Ravens are going to have to earn it. Get out of here, Denver.
Home game would have been cool, though. Another for the Ravens.
Yes.
Maybe Houston will be coming here in a couple of weeks.
Never know.
I think we're all grasping at straws.
Packers versus Eagles. We were just talking about this one. We all picked the Eagles here. And I don't know. I mean, this whole A.J. Brown thing is just funny to me. The book stuff.
He says he does it every game, even though there's no film proof of it.
Here's what that means to me is I've been doing it all year and nobody noticed. So I kept doing it. And now you noticed and I'm not going to do it anymore. How much you want to bet he doesn't have it on the sideline this coming week?
I'll bet if he has 5 catches for 80 yards in the first half, that book's going to be in his locker.
Yeah. No, it's all look at me, look at me. Mm-hmm. And nobody gave him the attention he wanted all year with his little prop.
Yeah.
And now he's got it.
Look at Nolan throwing some shade, as the young kids would say.
It's like LeBron getting, you know, they catch him walking into the games and he's got a book in his hand and then they ask him about it. Oh, you like that book? And he's, you know, what's your favorite part? Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. The Mad Magazine.
It's a prop.
Would have been mine.
Anyway, we got a little tangent there. Yes, Commanders versus Bucks.
That's running hot for you.
Hey. You got to speak it how it is.
Yeah.
I picked the Commanders in this one. You guys had the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Great showing for the rookie. I mean, to go on the road for that franchise, too. I mean, the 05 season is the last time they won a playoff game. They've been in the playoffs since then, but obviously never won. Fantastic.
And they got stopped on 4th-and-1 in their first drive.
Yep.
And they just were resilient, didn't stop. Baker Mayfield had that big fumble. They couldn't sustain drives. So a difficult loss, disappointing loss for Tampa and for Washington. A season that no one saw coming continues on. Now off to Detroit.
And Steelers versus Ravens. We all picked the Ravens and feeling pretty comfortable in it. Scores recap, Bob said 31-13. Vinny, 28-17. I said 29-19.
Nolan, how did I say the Ravens would win?
Easily.
Yeah.
And they did?
Yes, they did.
But unfortunately, it doesn't give you any extra points. So heading into tonight, and we'll pick these in a second.
Bogus.
But records on the week, and keep in mind this includes the Notre Dame win over Penn State, which we were all correct in. Updated standings for the playoffs. Bob at 4-3. Vinny at 5-2, and I'm at 6-1.
Woo! What? Wait a minute. Replay those. So Nolan off to a fast start here in the wild card round. We have a game tonight. It's at a neutral site.
He's like the Broncos,
unfortunately,
Bob.
Because of that was your only loss, Denver. No, you didn't pick that.
No. The Chargers.
But I'm saying he's like because the Broncos scored on a first drive. That's him.
I don't know, man. He might be like the, you know, the 97 Broncos taking it all the way to the house. But game tonight in Arizona, Rams and Vikings. This is a rematch from a game that was played in L.A. earlier, which the Rams won by 10. Spread is in favor of Minnesota, 2.5. Remember the last time the Vikings were on the field, Sam Darnold did not play well as they got their pants pulled down by the Detroit Lions. Vinny, who do you have tonight? Winner gets Philly.
Since it's a neutral site game, I'm going to take the Vikings in this one. And I don't think Sam Darnold will be as bad as he was, you know, in Detroit. I think he'll be better. And then it'll be interesting them going to Philly.
I'm going to go with the Rams here. Location doesn't really matter to me. I'm looking at experience versus inexperience here. It's just that simple. Nothing against O'Connell, but I'll also give a coaching edge to McVay. I don't know. There's something to be in there before. There's something to be in these games before, and I can't get last week out of my head. I mean, that was essentially a playoff game for the Vikings against the Lions. Playoff caliber teams, obviously, and they just didn't look the part at all, especially the most important position, the quarterback. So I got to go L.A.
Spread was one in favor of Minnesota before they moved to Arizona, one up to 2.5. I'm with Nolan. I'm going to take the Rams because of the experience factor here. Jefferson and Addison, that's a great duo wide receiver, but they have Nacua and Kupp. They have Kyron Williams at running back. They have a Super Bowl winner at quarterback, and Stafford has been in the playoffs multiple times. I see the Rams as home dogs, or neutral site dogs, but technically they're the home team, winning this game and then going to Philadelphia where they will be underdogs in that game. And let me just double check my notes because we do a little show prep around these parts. These two teams played earlier in the season and Philadelphia beat the Rams 37-20 in LA. But this one will be in Philly if, in fact, it comes to fruition. When we come back, shifted gears, talk some round ball, Terps round ball at that. The Wizard, Walt Williams, will talk about Maryland tonight against Minnesota. It's big favorites. The Gophers struggling here, 0-5 in the conference. Maryland coming off that win against UCLA. Then it's a funhouse trip. Nolan McGraw, Inside Access, takes over at 2 o'clock. By the way, that Maryland game's at 6:30, so we nice. Got you headed right in. You nice. Yes, right into Maryland and Minnesota after Inside Access.
Your sports information station, 105.7 The Fan.
Hey, 105.7 The Fan here on this, it's a Victory Monday. No real musical themes. We just kind of go with Nolan's flow. And he's feeling Journey. Ravens' journey to New Orleans continues on with their win this past Saturday at home against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers coming in here, losers of four in a row. That skid hits five as they hit the golf courses. We're tracking down the Wizard, Walt Williams, here to talk about tonight's Maryland game. Terps, 15.5-point favorites over the Golden Gophers. Minnesota, by the way, they've lost three in a row. They're 0-5 in the league. They're 8-8. Ben Johnson is fourth year as the head coach. Used to be a player there. Started at Northwestern. Yeah. Trent, you knew that? Transferred to Minnesota, was an assistant coach at Minnesota, among other destinations. Their leading scorer is Dawson Garcia, as a fifth-year senior, 6'11", averages almost 19 points and 8 rebounds a game. So he's kind of a one-man gang that Maryland's going to have to deal with. And the Terps, they do have the size. Walt said he's going to be good in 2 minutes there, Nolan. Maryland does have the size with Derek Queen and Julian Reese coming off a double-double, 16-10. To compete with him. Outside of Garcia, Golden Gophers, not a good offensive team. As a matter of fact, they're one of the worst shooting teams in the country. They're one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the conference. Very reminiscent of what Maryland was last year in the Big Ten, unable to put the ball in the hoop. And Nolan, before we get the Wiz in here, what'd you think of the win Friday night against UCLA as Mick Cronin got himself Cundiff from the game?
Right, good showing. I mean, it came out strong, had the lead at the half, probably should have been a little bit more. I was a little disappointed they kind of let UCLA narrow the deficit a little bit, but didn't lose any pace, came out in the second half, looked good. Huge difference maker, Jacoby Gillespie, back to his normal self. That made all the difference in the world. Derek Queen, he had a key end one that was big down the stretch, but overall still not at the level that he probably should be. And Julian Reese, doing what a senior's supposed to do, just great overall play.
Yep, and as Julian Reese gets criticized at times for not showing up in settings like this, he rose to the occasion, as we said, 16 points, 10 rebounds. But Gillespie was outstanding. Gillespie against Washington was terrible in that game, as was Derek Queen. They combined for 5 points in that loss, but since then, he has stabilized. The Maryland bench, it's going to be interesting to see how Kevin Willard kind of allocates the playing time with some of these small forward types. But Maryland shot the ball very well, 54%, 86% from the line, 37% from beyond the arc. And the key, too, as Mick Cronin had a problem with as the game went on, Maryland was forcing a ton of turnovers, and I think Cronin thought that Maryland was being overly aggressive with his team as the Bruins turned the ball over 21 times. Now, Maryland turned the ball over 16 times themselves, which you don't want to see on a regular basis, but they shot it well enough to overcome those deficiencies. So the Terps win, and they're making it happen here in 2025, at least getting their first win over a ranked team.
Well, I think that, Bob, the Terps, this is a game that you have to win. You can't lose this game because Minnesota stinks. And like you said, they're last in the league, so they're 16th or whatever they are.
Yeah, and they can't score. They have one guy that gets it done.
They should win by 20
and
tonight.
And great Osabor did them in Washington a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
But we shall see. If Maryland wins, then they go off to the road. They got Northwestern, who just lost yesterday. So we'll see how they can stack the wins, because Illinois, who lost over the weekend to USC, and Indiana, who got spanked in their last game, they're all awaiting Maryland. So now what you're doing, you're trying to put together a league resume, because right now they're comfortably in the tournament. Maryland is. But do you want to go in as an 8 or 9 seed and maybe with a loss here late put yourself in a bubble situation? Or do you want to put yourself near the top end of the league and get yourself comfortably in the NCAA tournament? So Maryland's good. The ceiling is high, as we've talked about. Kevin Willard, by the way, will join us tomorrow, head basketball coach for the University of Maryland. But I've been 50 years, Vinny, I've been watching Maryland basketball. 50 years.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's real cool. And the thing is, 8, 9 seeds, they're not cool. Being 3, 4 seeds is what we're used to here. So we'll talk about that and more as the show and the season progresses. But Kevin Willard tomorrow on the program. All right, I'm taking a phone call. We'll track down Walt when we track him down. Ravens win over Pittsburgh convincingly. They got Buffalo coming up. Road favorites. Ed and Arbutus. Ed, what's up?
Bob, Benny, good afternoon to you both.
Yep, same to you.
Thank you, sir. Ravens, in regard to win or go home, revealed their intentions from Jump Street and beyond. Personally, have never cared about statistics. One more point scored than the other team will suffice. A notch in the win column is the gist of it all to advance. To do so, must have the right players in the right spots at the right time. Ravens roster answer to that is a resounding yes. All Raven defenders now, starters and rotationals alike, contributing at least one good play every game with physicality purpose. Just one reminder, you cannot allow any opposition receiver to achieve the back jersey number of your deepest defender. Special teams, Tucker with 4 valued points. Punter Stout, efficient flipping the field in conjunction with Coach Harbaugh to maintain field position advantage. Reminder on returns, you must be decisive and strong with the catch. Then make the first guy miss and gain what you can, friendly sideline, ideally. No blips. Cannot have blips this time of year. Raven offense, O-line and Ricard, cohesive and stalwart unison in both run and pass. Receiver group, 7 different players with receptions, all clutch at this time of the cold weather year. Tailback Derrick Henry rarely goes down on first contact, attacks would-be tacklers with all 5 body points, square to the hit, two-handed sure with the football covered up. If he remains upright, he jump cuts or spins the daylight, followed with a well-timed body distance, separation stiff arm of uncanny devastation. If still on his feet after that, he's all out north only, sprint to the finish in the end zone. The guy is fundamentally sensational. Last thing today, gentlemen, Lamar Jackson, man on a mission, competes every play, clearly evident on the evasive scramble drill until he found Hill open for a TD touch pass. Lamar throws a situational catchable ball. He is a winner. That's it, gentlemen. I thank you for your courtesy, as always.
Thank you, Ed Narbutus, breaking it down as only he can.
To that point, you know, did you notice, Bob, on Henry's 44-yard touchdown run, who was running down right there with him?
Patrick Queen.
Lamar.
Oh, yeah. He would have tackled him before Patrick Queen would have. Patrick Queen looked like, yeah, look at all these familiar faces.
And then how surprised were you, Bob and Norm, that Steelers win the toss, take the ball?
Not really. Maybe you go out and score early, kind of switch the onus back around them. Herb Street wasn't really surprised with it either.
I was kind of stunned. We were talking to Tim down at the casino. We were a little shocked just because Ravens playoff history with Lamar. You almost want to say, look, hey, prove it. Go out here. They always start slow with him in the playoffs. And the Steelers' strength between the two sides of the football, it's their defense. So put your better side out there. Make Lamar prove it. Still would have he did. But, you know, right. I don't know. I can't fault Mike Tomlin there.
I think maybe what he was trying to do was, guys, here's how much belief I have in the offense. We're going to start the offense first. Or what, you know, and I don't. I was surprised when, because I was driving home and they said Steelers won the toss and they took the ball. I said, what?
Yeah, and then the Ravens just imposed their will next 58 minutes plus. It's 5780-1057, the Fan. Walt Williams going to join us later in the week as he had something come up at the last minute. Funhouse trip, Nolan McGraw, Inside Access coming up at 2, followed by the Terps of Minnesota. You get to hear that game on the Fan, 6:30 tip. Kevin Willard tomorrow at 10:30. Football, Mike Locksley interviewed with the Jets on Friday for the head coaching job. Now, where this goes, nobody knows. Rex Ryan is openly stumping for the job, as he stated over the weekend on ESPN. Locksley, 35-67 as a head coach, including 32-36 here at Maryland. Interviewed for the Dolphins job back in 2022, which went to Nolan's favorite coach, Mike McDaniel. So, Mike Locksley interviewed in New York as they're making sure they cover all their bases, looking for maybe that big hire to get them out of the doldrums. Longest playoff-less streak in the NFL, right? Isn't it? The Jets haven't been since 2009.
It's up there. Up there. Interviewing everybody. That's crazy.
Yeah. The only thing is when you're interviewing that many people, to me, then it kind of looks like you don't know what you're doing or what you're looking for. You don't know.
Yeah. Last time the Jets were in the Super Bowl, the Beatles were still together. They hadn't even played the rooftop concert yet. That's how long ago that has been. By the way, I think yesterday was the anniversary of Super Bowl III. The Jets beat the Baltimore Colts, which is still lost its stings here in the Charm City. Tomorrow, as we said, Kevin Willard, Kevin Allstriker. So we got our Kevins covered. Anything else, Nolan, as we get ready for Baltimore, going to Buffalo as road favorites, at least 1 point, according to the early line.
Let's see. Brian DiArdo, our friend from CBS Sports, is going to recap the wild card round, tonight's game, of course, and look ahead to the divisional matchups.
And they should be fun matchups, Minnesota and the Rams tonight. Winner goes to Philadelphia. We'll get into all of that as the week progresses. But right now, Nolan, let's go to the fun house.
Quick draws, fun house. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
First texter here says, I was surprised by how much the Ravens utilized Steven Sims and Anthony Miller at wide receiver on Saturday night. Both ended up out-snapping Nelson Agholor, it seems. It would be great to get Zay back moving forward for the Buffalo game. Even if he isn't 100%, just having another threat out there would be a plus.
I think having him 100% would be awesome. You know, if he's not 100% and can't be Zay Flowers, then you're better off just waiting, I think. But he would be – but Sims ran some – Sims can run. You know, he's a returner. He ran that jet sweep. I don't have a problem with any of that stuff if Zay's not available. But what, like when Six caught, I said, who the hell is that catching the ball? You know, I mean, it was like, that's not normal.
Right. Now, is this kind of like a blip on the radar? So let's say next week that Zay isn't available again. Do you see them riding Miller and Sims with more opportunities? Or was this just kind of a one-off thing?
I think it all depends on how you can. I mean, they ran it 50 times, so there wasn't a lot of options. But if you got to throw it 30 times, are they going to be involved more? Probably not, I would think. You know, you're going to go with the dudes that brought you there.
This one here from Chris says, I think my early key for Ravens versus Bills, whichever team is able to steal a possession, meaning turnover, winning the turnover battle, or a key fourth down conversion and or fourth down stop.
If it's a tight game, yeah, that would definitely be. I think the bigger key for the Ravens, if they can rush it for what they rush it for the first time they played, I don't know, Norm, but I mean, if they can rush it for over 170 yards, they're going to be in pretty good shape, just because then all of a sudden those safeties start having to come up too, and then all of a sudden play action pass, and then Bateman, you know, can get deep, and you know, that just opens up a lot more things when they can run the ball successfully.
Here's an interesting one. Texter says, I came out of this wild card weekend thinking that Baltimore, clearly the best team in the entire playoff field. Says, yes, even over the one seeds as well. He says they just looked like they were the team that was the most like themselves. Meanwhile, Buffalo, Philly, and others, while they won, at times a little uncharacteristic compared to the regular season.
I thought Buffalo kind of looked like themselves. I thought Josh Allen played well. I thought they ran the ball well. Defensively, they struggled early. But to me, that's kind of who they are. Shakir caught balls.
How quickly we forget, Derrick Henry rushed for 199 yards against Buffalo.
Well, the first play of the game, he went, what, 80?
Yeah, no, he housed it. To that point, though, Antonio checking in here says, great Ravens win over the Steelers. What adjustments do you think that Bills defense will make or even can make to try to slow down the Ravens run game? Because as Bob said, it was pure domination back in week four.
Well, Milano will be at linebacker. I guess that'll help them. But otherwise, it's pretty much the same cast of characters. I mean, I think the receivers can get open. I think the tight ends can get open against their safeties, and their D-line is not that big. It's going to be to me, it's more about what is Buffalo going to do to try to stop the Ravens' run game.
Well, and that kind of, I'm interested to see in those early read options.
Yeah.
Who are they crashing on? Because the Steelers early on were fully committed, selling out on Derrick Henry. Every time there was a read option,
if he would have gave it to Henry, Watt would have had 10 tackles.
Right. But that did set up, you know, the Henry big touchdown run
no doubt.
The second half. If you go back and watch that play, they finally bit on Lamar. And there were some other plays where they did, but that was the one where Lamar started to go for the read option and he pulled away, didn't have the ball. Three Pittsburgh defenders followed Lamar and let Henry run easily through the middle.
Well, I'll say this, like, they don't have, I'd say Hayward, Watt, and Highsmith are all better than the three D linemen for Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even 95 for the Steelers. Steelers' defensive line is better than Buffalo's. Buffalo's linebackers probably be somewhat of a push. Secondary, Fitzpatrick's better than any safety they've got, and Joey Porter's better than any corner they got. So personnel-wise, Pittsburgh's defense is better.
Yeah, Fitzpatrick got the Earl Thomas treatment.
He got postered.
Yeah.
Big time. And they were teammates with Henry in college, too, at Alabama. Said it's all love. Henry goes on the field as business. Though Carl Sheppers, his group, will call the game on Sunday at 6:30. He did week 12 against the Chargers. Ravens got flagged 9 times for 102 yards. And let's see, Patrick Queen apparently had the flu, was IV'd up 4 times during the game against the Ravens. So maybe that's why he wasn't chasing down Derrick Henry. It's Vinny at 81.057 The Fan. That's going to do it for us. We're back tomorrow with Turn It Up Tuesday. Kevin Willard at 10:30. Hopefully talking about a Maryland win. For Nola McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. Inside Access coming up next. For now, class dismissed.